Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries. From Barangaroo Studios, here's what you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Hello and welcome to the COB. I'm Juliet Sali.
And I am Tessa Rosilia, joining Jules today.
Yeah, and you've joined us on not a great day, Tessa.
I know.
Did you break the market?
It's a sea of red.
Yes.
It is, like, all, as in all sectors down today.
Yeah, indeed. I think a lot of Fed anxiety. You've got that two-year yield around 5%, a lot of kind of repositioning in global markets. It was a terrible April as well for US equity markets. You can see where the CBOE 200 is finishing out the day, down 0.9%. The ASX 200 had a bit of a steeper fall than that, actually, down by 1.1%, 85 points, 7,579 points. And as you say, Tessa, every sector in the red, quite significant selling coming through in gold as well. So just getting to that repositioning story.
No, absolutely. And I think, as we know, this is all about waiting for the FOMC meeting tonight and waiting for just, you know, where inflation is headed. And what I find really interesting is now the, you know, the rate cut expectations are coming in. And it's just surprising. You know, when we heard today, well, I know we'll talk about it a little later, but we heard today the hikes projection. Here we go again. So I think Rabobank said 25 basis points twice in the year.
Yeah.
And August and November.
I think it was interesting talking to Deanna Messina just there as well from AMP, because she mentioned as well, that fly in the studio, she mentioned that, you know, they see a 30% chance now of a cut. They were the ones calling for a cut in June, both her and Shane Oliver. Anyway, let's get to the three themes of the day, because of course we are talking about the old adage, sell in May. Has it started already? We had a 1% drop for the first day of May, but of course also came after that repositioning that we saw in April. And then, you know, a fair bit of Qantas turbulence. Are you a frequent flyer user?
Yeah, and I actually didn't know about the turn off your app or sign out of the
app.
They suggested
today.
Suggestion of doing that. So there were investigations into whether there was a breach of privacy and what happened there. I think they've resolved the issue now, but that did send the stock price
down today. It's down on a down day, I guess, as well. But the other interesting piece is that, you know, Qantas doesn't really have any competition. Even, you know, Bonza has now collapsed, not that that was listed. But where do investors that want to buy into this travel recovery theme go? Well, they go to Qantas, and they're still a buy when you look at Refinitiv data. In fact, the target price, $7.28, which is a 25% upside from where Qantas has been tracking. So even though, as we say, it hit this turbulence, still longer term, it's probably not going to be like the Optus data breach.
Well, what else do you buy?
Yeah, what else do you buy in that space?
Yeah.
And we mentioned Fed in focus, of course, all eyes on the Fed. We'll talk about that with our guest as well in a moment. Let's have a quick look at some of the sectors that we saw, kicking it off with some of these uranium players. No, we're going to start with the gold players. The gold stocks there, 3.3% lower. Newmont is not trading on our screen, which I think might be an error, because I just saw it down by something like 5%. Let me just have a look. It is down 2.4%, in fact, so came off some of those earlier losses. Evolution down by about 4%. Northern Star under pressure as well.
But this is all bracing for the Fed meeting, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Here we go. Right. Going nuclear, look at those uranium stocks. We're going to talk about that with our guest in a moment too.
That obviously linked to the news of potential Biden administration, potentially, we don't know yet if it's a done deal, blocking some Russian shipments, of course, that worries investors. And, well, it is changing. Well, people are buying now, just hoarding uranium at the moment.
Yeah, indeed. All going higher except NexGen. A quick look at energy. Of course, most of those under pressure. Woodside down 2.5%. Santos down by about 2%. The Paladin and Boss story is really more about that uranium theme. And then having a look at the the corporate stories, of course, Qantas shares we just touched on. Reports of this app data breach, but Qantas did say it has since been resolved.
Yes, and we were also talking about Woolworths today, and they had agreed to sell some stake in Endeavour Group today. And, you know, basically they said they're not selling the rest of it. I think they still have about 4%. But this means that the cash that they'll be getting from this sale, they'll be giving back to investors. And I saw an analyst, Philip Kimber from E&P Capital, saying that's about $1.5 billion that they will return to shareholders. That's 1.25 per share.
All right, Amcor increasing its full year 24 earnings per share after releasing third quarter numbers. It shares up by about 4%. And worth noting, Restaurant Brands in a halt, but it did release its first quarter sales, coming in $333 million, up by about 8% year on year. All right, let's get to our guest and welcome to the COB, Mark Gardner from MPC Markets.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you going?
Good afternoon. So this potential US ban on Russian imports, I mean, as we said, going nuclear, these uranium stocks.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Cameco last night, which is the world's largest producer, had an absolute shocking earnings report, basically. So the uranium stocks were essentially, I think the ETF in the US was down about 3% overnight. Obviously, this announcement, it's just passed the Senate. I think it's going to go into, and they basically think it's a foregone conclusion in the House. So essentially, you can see there, the top left-hand corner, the US is the largest importer of uranium in the world. And that's their 2022 figures, but it's not much changed these days. And their largest, their largest market they buy off is the Russians, about 25%. So there will be some, some flexibility in terms of if you've got current contracts, I think it will roll out to maybe 2028 or something like that. However, you've got a sulfuric acid shortage, which has pushed production numbers down for the two biggest producers in the world, Cameco and Kazatomprom, by about 30 to 40%. So, you know, they provide about 45% of the world's supply. So they're not producing. And then we've obviously just had Boss and Paladin just hit first production, first drums shipped for Boss the other day. Paladin's had first production in, I think, about 3 weeks ago. So look, these uranium, it's just fantastic timing. It's a fair bit of luck involved as well, but we saw spot prices head up for uranium overnight back above $90. But the US market was shut by the time this was announced. So I would expect them to go to head a lot higher.
Yeah, well, assuming that this will go ahead, as you say, it seems like the market is considering it as a done deal. Will this, given the supply of uranium is on the way up, is it going to structurally change the market with this Russian ban? Or is this just a temporary blip?
We were already in supply deficit. We were already in shortage. So what it's going to do is effectively add to that shortage. So they've got 90 nuclear power plants they need, and you can't just switch a nuclear power plant off. India's currently in the process of building another 18 odd plants. China's building them. Australia's the only backward country in the world that doesn't like nuclear power. Realistically, it's the only way we're going to get baseload electricity at a reliable level while we transition into renewables. So, I really can't see that thematic changing at all. So I would expect those, like I said, it's been a 2-year road back to production for Paladin and Boss, and all these announcements have come all at the right time.
Are they the best picks, or are you?
Well, they're in production, so yeah. I mean, look, you take the risk with the explorers that, you know, that they find, because uranium, one small little nugget of uranium is like a metric ton of coal in terms of energy. So supply gaps can be solved fairly quickly. And obviously, you know, as they say, the solution to higher prices is higher prices. People will start, you know, scrambling to get into the space, or Kazatomprom and Cameco will start to, you know, they'll have to source some more sulfuric acid, which could also be pretty good for the likes of Incitec Pivot, which produces sulfuric acid. So it's needed for refining in copper and particularly in copper and uranium. So they can't really refine it without.
And where do you stand? I want to move on to rates expectations, because, of course, that is the big thing that we're all looking out for tonight. So where do you stand? I think the market's pricing in one cut in the year now, down from 6 in January, as far as the Fed goes. Yeah. Where do you stand on that? And then how does it translate to Australia?
So the reason we're pricing in one cut still is because the analysts are embarrassed and they're just unwinding their... basically. Because they can't just switch, like, you know, in a heartbeat, even though the sentiment switched. So There won't be a rate cut this year. Categorically, swaps markets have priced it out of the market completely early first quarter, maybe next year. But they're also, you know, there's outliers now saying that there could be cut, there could hikes, be hikes. Yeah. So it's been a very, very swift change, I've got to say. For mine, 3.8% unemployment. They're expecting another 230,000 jobs to be added, which would be nearly 1.5 million jobs for the US to be added this year. Never in history have we ever even considered cutting rates with those sorts of numbers. So it's just not going to happen. It's, whatever the analysts say, like, there would have to be a catastrophic event or a black swan event for there to be considering rate
cuts. To be fair, not just the analysts, though. I mean, Powell pivoted himself in November. Mm. So as we've discussed before, whether or not he has mud on his face or not, but what do you think he says at this meeting?
I probably think they jawbone rate hikes so they don't actually have to hike.
Yeah.
It would be the smart move from my perspective. I'm not a central banker, but the... But if they leave it, if they don't talk tough on inflation and markets, you know, and people keep spending money, then it doesn't sort of scare people into a little bit of consumption submission. They may actually have to hike. So I think what central banks would rather is to just stay higher for longer and then go into a cut probably early next year. But you know, their mandate's to fight inflation, and to and in the states is, you know, they've obviously got an employment mandate as well. But unemployment rates are like record lows; it's in the high threes.
But to that point, you were saying that the change was quite abrupt. But should we even have been talking about cuts in the first place? Because we're nowhere near the target. So it's pretty obvious that we were going down that path a little too quickly.
Yeah, we never considered that there would be cuts. I mean, the data, look, they were predicting seven cuts in like November, December. There was literally not enough time for the data to be enough data to be released for those cuts to even materialize. It was really the strangest thing I've seen. Mm. But it seems that analysts these days have got cut brain or hike brain, but there's no in between, because that's obviously not interesting. I don't really know, but the reality is there's historically always been 510 odd days between my hike, and that puts it at around about, you guessed it, December, January next, you know, December this year, January next year. So, which is about where the expectations from, you know, the real market and the swaps is sort of putting it. So it, you can't really fight those. Like, the market wants things to move so fast, and in reality, the economy just moves, it's so much slower than what market expectations. And we've got this really bad habit, particularly in the last, I think since the late, around 2020, in the last 3 or 4 years particularly, we just get ahead of ourselves continually, and then it gets corrected, and then it eventually ends up going to that place. But we seem to not want to sit in the middle anymore. No one reads the analyst reports if it's not an extreme view, I suppose.
Yeah, well, indeed, some of these big calls, people you think are just trying to make a name. Let's talk more about the market, though, because we talked about the uranium players, but down more than 1% today. Sell in May has come.
That's the average for it's day one.
Yeah.
May is a 50-50, whether it's up or down. Generally, it's our worst statistical month for the ASX 200. I would say really the banks are at fairly elevated prices. Obviously, BHP's, you know, will be diluting if it's an all-script offer for Anglo American. That consumer discretionary and real estate part of the market, if we get a hawkish Fed tonight, I mean, they're cooked, really.
Yeah.
I mean, Wesfarmers in the mid-60s and the likes of Lovisa and things, I mean, there is significant, significant downside for those guys. And the retail sales numbers are slowing here in Australia as well.
Yeah.
So there is wiggle room for downside, but I think if you're taking great profits here in some of those names and go back to a little bit of cash, and just we regularly do shopping lists for our clients, and you pick a name and you pick a level and actually embrace being able to buy into some high quality stocks at cheap prices, whereas, you know, particularly the last 6 months you've had to really roll the dice and take a risk buying at high PEs, etc. But, you know, potentially with the changing rate environment as well. Because one thing we've got to remember is that the S&P on average drops 20% after the first rate cut. If you take black swans out, it drops about 12.5% on average for the last 40 years. So rate cuts aren't all they're cracked up to be. It usually means economic slowing. So, I think, you know, if you just be smart, have your risk management plan, plan out what you want to buy on the dip, because I think, you could set yourself up for the next couple of years. But I don't think this is the area where you want to be pushing it and crossing your fingers and toes and hoping for further upside.
All right, Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Regular Wednesday guest as well, Mark Gardner from MPC Markets. All right, well, the stock of the day today was Woolworths.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
All right, Ben Clark from TMS Capital and Henry Jennings from Marcus today shared their take on the call.
Results tomorrow. Hardly going to shoot the lights out. I don't think it's buy of the decade, as Andrew said, but it's probably a nibble here. It's a quality company long term, but at the moment the headwinds in consumer land well and truly against it, I suspect. So for me at the moment, it's just a hold.
Go Woolies over Coles, I think. Although I would say, Coles numbers recently were stronger than Woolies. I think Woolworths has got a bit more optionality in some of the things that it's doing outside of supermarkets, and it's been well, despite the negative press Brad has got, I think he's actually been a really good operator. And, you sort of think about when he took it over, he's done a great turnaround job.
All right.
All right, market Andrew, rather getting the final word there. Let's have a look at the market leaders on a down day, and really these uranium players, as we've touched on, Paladin, Boss, Amcor as well. It had its quarterly update. Life 360 looking okay, and Nickel Industries up 2%.
And on the other end of the spectrum, the laggards, Coronado Global Resources, Emerald Resources, also resource companies down today. Remelius and Perseus Mining all down.
Yeah, a lot of those gold stocks. Let's have a look at the small end of town. Actually, a little bit of buying in some of these resource players like Anson and Aspire Mining, Taraco Gold, Botanics Pharma doing okay, and Alligator Energy up 7.6%.
And on the other end of a smalls market, selling Gallen Lithium, Step One, Electro Optic Systems, Southern Cross Gold, I think that I'm familiar with, and Queensland Pacific. Actually, if I'm looking at the sectors, energy, I think, is the biggest loser for today, down almost 2% on the ASX.
Yeah. All right. Let's have a look at what is happening overnight. Of course, the Fed, Jerome Powell speaking as well. We'll bring you all of that tomorrow morning. But the US jolts job openings to the ISM manufacturing PMI, crude oil inventories, and then a big session of earnings as well. So you've got the likes of Apple, Shopify, Novo Nordisk will be interesting on the back of Eli Lilly, which did really, really well. Cloudflare, Coinbase, Global, and Amgen.
And expectations for Apple is pretty flat, I think, because of their low sales. And so we'll see. I think they're just looking for some good news from Apple overnight. And tomorrow, we're expecting a trade balance in Australia, building approvals. And Japan's been in the news a lot. I don't think we'll learn a lot of new things from the minutes of the meeting, but it is there. And we have NAB earnings and a few quarterlies, West Farmer Strategy Day, and AGM for Rio.
Yep. So also Woolworths and Insignia, they're coming through with quarterly reports as well. All right. It is a down day. We have sold in May. I know it's day one, but we love a thematic in markets.
We do.
Down by about 1%, I think. There we go. The SIBO 200 off 0.9%. And just looking at where the ASX 200 has finished, 1.1% lower, 85.3 points, 7,578 points.
So let's see what tomorrow brings, Jules.
Yeah,
will the May trend continue?
I'm going to guess a little bit of Jay Powell it will bring, and all those other things we told you about as well. We will see you from 9:40 Eastern.
Thanks for joining.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone. Trusted by traders in over 160 countries.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.